You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
All right, church, where are we at today? Anybody know? Ruth. I think there's some baby Ruth back there, maybe. There might be a baby Ruth back there. Give that to someone. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse, right? This is how we do it. And so we're making our way through Ruth. Excited about today's message. Just a great picture of Jesus in her life. But in light of Friend Day, next week, make sure you invite someone. But then October 19th, Family Fun Night. Big event. Great time for you to invite friends, family, plan to come. But also as a church, let us as a church prepare to serve our community together. So if you're able to help out with that night, more details will come in time, but you can touch base with Todd and he'll be able to get you squared away. But Ruth chapter number two, and remember the title, Making a Masterpiece Out of a Mess. Making a masterpiece out of a mess, making a princess out of a pauper. Naomi and Ruth, the story of Naomi and Ruth. And today we're looking at undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. The mindset of self-entitlement is dangerous, as it blinds us and leads us to believe we are deserving of more than what's given to us. It fosters pride and self-centeredness, instilling in us the belief that we are entitled to more than what God has given to us. When an individual adopts this mentality, they risk becoming ungrateful and overly expectant. Have you ever encountered or met someone like this? They feel entitled to that job promotion. They feel entitled to that salary increase. It's owed me. I deserve it. They feel entitled for that recognition. They feel entitled that they deserve that larger home or that nicer car. When a Christian claims, now I'm going to speak directly, specifically to us. When a Christian claims they deserve anything, they are essentially telling God that he owes them something. Think about it. And when we claim as Christians that we're owed something, we are literally telling God, you owe me something. Yet God owes us nothing but judgment and condemnation for all have sinned, remember? And come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. However, that's what we deserve. However, in his grace, he grants us what we did not merit. For a person to receive salvation, they must first recognize that they do not deserve it or forgiveness. Our churches and our culture today is being eroded by this sense of self-entitlement, which strips us of gratitude that we should feel for the blessings God has bestowed upon us. The story of Ruth exemplifies this. She understands that she deserves nothing, but yet she was richly blessed by a man named Boaz, who showers her with immense favor, or shows her immense favor despite it being undeserved. This mirrors the favor that Jesus Christ extends to us, showering us with abundant blessings that we do not deserve. You must understand, when we begin to walk further through the book of Ruth, as this man named Boaz jumps onto the scene, I want you to understand, Boaz is a shadow and a picture of Jesus in the New Testament and his character for us. When we look at the life of Boaz, I want you to, as we walk through this, I want you to put yourself in Ruth's place, and I want you to put Jesus in Boaz's place. As we look at how he treated her, how he showered her with blessings that were undeserved. See, this is the thing. If we as Christians have a sense of self-entitlement, like, hey, I deserve this, then we completely misunderstand what we really do deserve. Because in essence, we don't deserve this. We deserve the opposite, eternal separation. We deserve the wages of our sin, which is death, that lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's what we deserve. But instead, Jesus gave us that. This is what undeserved favor looks like in its greatest form. And so today, as we look at this, let's pray that the Lord would open our eyes to really, man, stir in us a heart of gratitude for all of the undeserved favor, all of the unmerited favor that has been poured out on me and you today. That we would go out today just rejoicing and just praising the Lord. So let's pray, and we're going to jump into the message. Father, I love you. I do pray that through your word and the Holy Spirit that you've given to us, that you would open our eyes to be able to comprehend. Lord, have that aha moment. Lord, as Ruth is interacting with Boaz, we know that all of the scriptures point us to you because the book, the volumes are written about you. Every page should point us to you, and they do when we're looking. Lord, I pray that we would see you high and lifted up as the kinsman redeemer, as the one that our hope is found in, our restoration is found in, our life is found in. Lord, I pray that you bless your people now in Jesus' name. Amen. You could just write it down. Point number one, as we pick up, we're going to pick up in verse number four, we talked through the first three verses last week, didn't get very far. But number one, notice Boaz noticed Ruth. Boaz noticed Ruth. Look at verse number four. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Remember, last week, Naomi, she got hungry. She needed to go out and work. And so she asked Naomi, she said, hey, can I go out and work? And so Naomi told Ruth, hey, go out in the field. Remember, it just so happened. Remember how we talked about it's not coincidence. It's divine intervention on God's behalf. It just so happened, verse number three, that she just happened to land upon. The first place that she went just happened to be where? Boaz's field, who just happens to be a mighty man of wealth, who just happens to be a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. It just so happened. And now Boaz is coming onto the scene, and this is where we're picking up at verse number four. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee, the Lord bless thee. This was kind of a greeting in those days. And then verse number five, it's almost like immediately Boaz gets there and he notices first Ruth in verse number five. Then said Boaz unto his servants, that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? It's almost like the first thing, like, who's that person over there? I notice her. That's how it was when I went to church, right? I was doing the offering. I remember the first time seeing my wife. It's still, to this day, I was standing up here, and they even let me do the offering when I first started. It always baffles me. I wasn't the best of person when I first started going to church, but they still let me serve, right? And I remember looking up and seeing my wife, right? You know, I saw her long before she ever saw me. Now, she was giving me the Google eyes, whole nine yards. You know, she didn't even notice me, right? But I noticed her. But, you know, here, Boaz, noticing this woman, Ruth, noticing her first. And this is important. It says in verse number six, and he's asking his servants, who is this? Who is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. He noticed her first. This is important. He noticed her first. He knew of her desperate need for help. You know, I don't want you to think about this. He knew of her desperate need for help. He knew all about her before she ever even noticed him. He knew all about her before she ever even noticed him. He knew the struggle she was going through. He knew the plot of life that she was in. He knew all about her before she even noticed him. Isn't that how it is for us today? Long before we ever saw Jesus, he saw us. Long before we ever saw Jesus, he saw us, and he saw our desperate need for help. Long before we ever even acknowledged who God was, long before we ever even knew who the name of Jesus was, he knew us. How many of you guys in here would say you love the Lord? Can I tell you why you love the Lord? Because he first loved you. You don't love him because you're good. You love him because he's good and he loved you. 1 John 4:9 says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We'll see that in time to come, Ruth will love Boaz, but it's only because he first loved her. He first saw her. He first took notice of her. He first came to her. Are you seeing the connection of how Boaz is a picture of Jesus? Oh, it gets better. It gets better. We see Boaz notices Ruth, but then next, Boaz protects Ruth. Or Boaz protects her. Look at verse number 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, he notices her, then he goes to her, right? He goes to her and says, hearest thou not, my daughter, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here, abide here. And that's an important phrase. I want you to notice that phrase. We'll talk about it in a minute. Abide here fast by my maidens, or stay close by. Don't wander too far. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have not I charged the young men that they touch thee not? That they touch thee not. Hey, he's putting a hedge of protection about her. Hey, nobody is going to mess with you. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Hey, you can partake of those things. Nobody's going to touch you. Nobody's going to mess with you. Boaz put a hedge of protection around her. He not only told the men to not touch her, but those same men would also provide protection for her as well. Those same men would also provide protection. In Revelations, it talks about God's angels being the one who's going to reap the field, right? Reap the field. And remember, in Revelations, the Bible says, hey, he tells his angels, go out there. But he says, hey, watch out for those ones with the mark. Watch out for those ones with the mark. Hey, you don't touch them. And it's kind of like almost that same thing. It's like, hey, he's telling his servants, hey, not because they were necessarily going to hurt her, but hey, you don't touch her. You don't bother her. And you watch out for her. He's putting a hedge of protection over her. Such a great protection he gave to her. But I want you to notice this. But she, if she wanted that protection, she had to stay in his fields. She couldn't wander too far because, hey, there's protection when we stay close to the Lord. There's protection when we don't wander from the Lord. I think the same is said for Christians who abide under the wings of the Almighty. It is when we wander from his place, we put ourselves in danger. It is when we wander from under that his wing, his shadow, his protection, that we put ourselves in danger. Psalm 17:8-9 says, keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings from the wicked that would oppress me. He's like, hey, I'll keep you safe. Abide here in my fields. Hey, Christian, don't wander. Don't wander, because the protection you're looking for is in the presence. It's in the presence. I like verse number 10. As she's hearing this, as she's acknowledging all of this, she's like, man, this guy, he noticed me. Now he's coming up and telling me, hey, don't you worry. I'm going to put a hedge of protection about you, because it's not safe for you to go very far. Naomi's response to this, and I want you to notice this. Verse number 10, it says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? She realizes she does not deserve what she is being given. Christian, when's the last time that you have fell on your knees before the Lord because you realize that what you've been given by God Almighty, that you don't deserve it? When's the last time you fell down on your face and wept before God because he gave you his son to die for your sin. Because last time I checked, I don't care how good we look on the outside, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When's the last time you've been moved, where you fell down on your face, where you realize how undeserved, how much undeserved favor and merit that you've been given by God? Or are you good to just stand on your feet and say, hey, thanks, buddy? And Naomi, she's like, why have I found grace in thy sight? Why? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me. What am I? I love what David says. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you even look to us? Why do you even bless us? Such undeserving we are. Naomi or Ruth had that mindset of, I don't deserve this blessing, seeing I am a stranger. Because Ruth realized she does not deserve such blessings, her heart is overwhelmed with gratitude. You know, when we have a self-entitled heart, our heart is hard and we don't have that heart of gratitude. The more grateful you are on the inside means you will be more thankful on the outside. See, she was more grateful on the inside, and it came out on the outside. With a bowed knee and a heart full of praise to the Lord, to Boaz, she, man, I don't deserve this. And she gets down low, and she's telling him, hey, thank you. I don't deserve this. It caused a response in her heart because she realized she didn't have that sense of self-entitlement. She knew she didn't deserve it. You know, the lips of thanks come from a heart of gratitude. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. See, she's realizing this. He noticed me, this rich, wealthy, mighty man. He noticed me. Now he's protecting me, but it gets better. It gets great. And I'm like, man, next, Boaz comforts her. He comforts her. I want you to think about this. Look at verse number 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband. Do you realize that the first time comfort is brought to Ruth, it's from Boaz? Do you know that the first person that mourns with her is Boaz? You don't ever see Naomi saying, hey, I know you just lost your husband. You don't ever see anywhere else, but I love this because this is a perfect picture of how Jesus comes alongside of us. He mourns with us. He weeps with us. He's been touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He knows our pain and our suffering. Naomi or Ruth never had to say, do you know what I've been through? He says, no, I know your plot. I know your pain. I know. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Of the Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He's saying, hey, I see your pain and I also see your efforts. I see your pain and I also see your efforts. You ever feel like, you know, you're going through life and you're like, you're wondering, does God know what's going on in my life? He does. You ever wonder as you're trying to serve him, as you're trying to, continue to be faithful to him, that does he see what I'm doing? Does he know? He does. He acknowledged her pain and her plot in life. He enters into her suffering. He grieves with her. She didn't have to tell him the pain and what she was going through. He already knew it. Does not Jesus know our pain and our suffering? Does he not know everything that we go through? Jesus knows our pain. He knows our suffering. Before we even tell him, he comforts us through his Spirit and his Word. That's a beautiful picture of how the Comforter, one of the roles of the Comforter is he sends just in the name itself, John chapter 13, 14, 15, he gives the roles of the Comforter, and one of the roles is to comfort us, because now Jesus is gone into heaven and he sends us his Spirit to dwell within our heart, literally. one of the roles to comfort us. Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Basically, Jesus can sympathize with us. Hey, if you're going through pain, guess what? He knows what that's like. Hey, you're going through separation. Hey, he knows what that's like. Hey, you're walking around people that don't care about you or that disrespect you. Hey, he knows what that's like. Look at it again, verse 13. She gets more and more overwhelmed as Boaz begins to acknowledge, begins to comfort, begins to take recognition of, begins to protect. In verse 13, she said, let me find favor in thy sight. Or basically, man, why have I found favor in your sight again? My Lord, for thou hast comforted me. You know the greatest place in this world that you will find comfort? It's not going to be from your spouse. It's not going to be from your kids. It's not going to be from your boss. It's not going to be from your closest friend. It's going to be from your Heavenly Father. And it will be from your Savior. You know, sometimes we look for people to fill a God-sized hole in our heart. But you know what? He's the only one that can bring true comfort. He may use a person sometimes. Praise the Lord for that. But you know, sometimes we're looking for people this way. I need you to fill this void. I need you to bring this comfort. But I love, she says, thou hast comforted me. Remember, we're in the spot of Ruth, and Boaz is in that spot of Jesus. Jesus is comforting. Boaz is comforting Ruth. I love it. And for that thou hast spoken friendly. You know, he didn't treat her like a servant. He didn't treat her like an outsider. He didn't treat her like a less than. He didn't treat her. He didn't belittle her. But yet she said, thou hast spoken friendly, kindly unto thy handmaiden, though I be not likened unto one of thine handmaidens. Keeps getting better. He notices her. He protects her. He comforts her. And then this one right here just is crazy. Boaz serves her. He serves her. Look at verse number 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reaper. And what's that next word? He reached her parched corn. Basically, he served her. He gave to her, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. This is a beautiful picture of the master becoming the servant. He reached her parched corn. He didn't treat her like a servant and said, hey, I'll feed you, but you go provide for me first. You go serve me first. He became a servant to her. He met her need first. Once again, Jesus said, I am come not to be served, but to serve. If you're here at Brimley and you're wondering what those words are on the back, this is our mission statement. We seek to serve, not be served. If you're looking for a church where you can come and be pampered and served, that's not what this church is about, because we're called to serve like our Savior. Sometimes we get it backwards. I want somebody to come and serve me. Nope, that's not how it goes. That's even defined in the last work that Jesus did. As he was in the upper room right before he died, as he got down and washed the disciples' feet. We get it all wrong. We think people are supposed to cater to us and people are supposed to serve us. No. Boaz, the mighty man, this man of great wealth, this man of great stature, he's serving this outsider. He is coming to her. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, right? Well, I don't see comparing Scripture with Scripture. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon him, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. Did you get that? Took upon himself the form of a servant. He made himself a servant. God made himself a servant and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here, Boaz saying, hey, let me help you. Let me help you. Jesus becoming a servant doesn't make him any less God, nor does Boaz serving Ruth make him any less a mighty man. But I tell you what it does, though. In fact, serving Ruth or Boaz serving Ruth only made Boaz that much greater in her eyes because of his kindness towards her. To think that the God of the universe would leave his lofty throne, the creator of the universe would leave his lofty throne to come down here and to put on flesh and to be abused by the very creation that he made. That's something else. And I think when we acknowledge and understand from that perspective, it ought to make God so much greater. Because he's not a God far off, he's a God that's near. Wow. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's undeserved favor. That's what it looks like. But can I say it gets better? All right, so, he notices her first. He protects her. He comforts her. And then he serves her. But then now Boaz is blessing her. He's blessing her. Look at verse number 15. And when she was risen up to glean after that lunch break, so to say, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. See, in this days, the way it worked was the gleaners, the reapers would come in and they would harvest intentionally and be grabbing, and they wouldn't let the sheaves just be left on the ground. There was some that would fall, very little would fall, but the people would be able to come behind it and scavenge and kind of get that day's daily bread. That day's daily bread. It's important that we understand this because he's doing something that's not normal. He's saying, hey, let her glean among the sheaves and reproach her not. Verse 16, and let fall. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. And leave the sheaves that she may glean them and rebuke her not. See, I want you to understand something about what Boaz is doing right here. He is intentionally blessing her. He is intentionally blessing her. It's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. He's saying, let the blessings fall. He's saying, let the blessings fall. Let fall. I'm telling you, I'm your master. Let them fall. Let handfuls of sheaves fall. Let handfuls of blessings fall. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And let it fall. Where's it falling from? Heaven. See if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Let the blessings fall. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captives and gave gifts unto men. Man, let the blessings fall. God was opening the windows of heaven to pour out a blessing upon Ruth through Boaz. That's what he was doing. He does the same for us through Jesus Christ. Let the blessing fall. They were intentional. They were intentional. I love that, but you know what? They weren't just intentional. They were premium blessings. They were premium blessings. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose. Don't miss that phrase. Handfuls of purpose. The best of the best. Let the best of the best fall. Shame on us. Because we don't realize how good we got it. We really don't. You know, and I pray that God breaks us of this I deserve mentality, even me. Because God is so good to us. He is so good to us. We got far more than we need. And here, premium blessings, the best of the best. The handfuls of purpose would basically be the premium, not the seconds. It would be like when let's use a real simple example here. You're going and you're apple picking and they're harvesting apples. Man, you want that juicy, man, perfectly, just big, juicy apple. Not the ones that are all bruised up, banged up, the leftovers. You know, Boaz is not telling his reapers to give her the leftovers. I hope you understand that. I hope you understand he's saying give her the best of the best. Let the best of what we have fall down to be a blessing for her. I'm so grateful God don't give us leftovers. And if you don't say that God, and if you can't see that God hasn't given you the best of the best, then you obviously don't know what that is. Because that is a picture of God the Father and Jesus Christ giving us the absolute best that he could give to us. And yet as Christians, we give God our leftovers. I don't get it. We'll give God our leftover change. And then we'll say, I tithe. We give God our leftover time. Well, I got time this week so I can serve. When he literally gave us, he didn't give us anything secondary. He gave us the darling of heaven. He gave us the best when he gave us Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, meaning that there's nothing in heavenly places that God has withheld from us through Christ Jesus. Wow. God the Father has given us the best of the best when he gave us himself. It not only is an intentional blessing, it wasn't accidental. He said, hey, let fall. She might have thought it was an accident. But after time, I'm thinking Ruth is going to be a pretty smart person. She's going to figure out, there's something wrong with this, man. This guy must be blind, or they're doing this on purpose. And you know what? I wonder how many times is Ruth is picking up the handfuls of purpose, and she's like, man, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. But man, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you. It's a premium blessing. It's not the leftovers. He didn't give her what was left over, but then notice it was a bountiful blessing. Bountiful. Look at verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, what she harvested, and it was about an ephod of barley. What's the big deal? Okay. Remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and the Lord told them to go out and gather each day an omer, one omer. And 10 omers equal one ephod. So one omer was one day's worth of food. Here, what has happened, in case if you don't realize, is that she has just been poured out 10 days worth of food. He didn't just give her enough to get by for the day. He gave her a bountiful, abundant blessing. 10 days worth. Now I want you to think about this with me. Jesus tells us to pray, give us what? This day, our daily bread. But how many of us in this room, and I want you to raise your hands for this one. How many of us in this room have been blessed with so much more than just one day's worth of food? Raise your hand. He tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, so we recognize our needs are met in him. But the majority of the time, He pours out on us far more than just what we need for the day. Think about that. I've learned to pray, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, even though I have food in my refrigerator today. Because I've realized that sometimes we forget it comes from Him. Lord, give me this day not just what I need physically, but what I need spiritually, what I need mentally, what I need emotionally, what I need physically. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just give us our needs, but He also blesses us with our desires and our wants when they are in line with His will. Why wouldn't God pour out? I love Psalms 84:11 when it says, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is a good Father and He likes to give good gifts, starting with the Holy Spirit. The best gift. Sometimes we get it mixed up. We think, if I just had a pay raise, God, you'd be so much a better Father. He's like, I already given you something so much better than that. I've given you the Holy Spirit. You know, today, you know, that sense of self-entitlement is dangerous. And sometimes it can creep into the church. I deserve. People should do for me. I deserve this. When really, really, praise the Lord, we don't get what we deserve. You know, as we take a time of reflection, I want you to think about everything that we talked about today. Hey, long before you ever noticed God, He noticed you. He put a hedge of protection about you when you entered into His fields, when you became His son, His daughter. He comforts us. He knows your plot. He knows everything that you're going through. He blesses us intentionally. He blesses us with premium blessings. You know, today, I pray that the Holy Spirit's working on you, because I know the Holy Spirit is working on me. As my wife comes and plays the piano with heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around, let's take a time of reflection. Put yourself in Ruth's shoes. Put yourself in her shoes. As you look at all the blessings that you've been given, I pray that in the quietness of your seat right now, that you're just praising and thanking the Lord for all that He's given to you, even when you know you don't deserve it, and none of us do. Ask the Lord to remove that sense of, or that mindset of maybe a self-entitlement. Maybe it's ungratitude in your heart. Remember how Boaz served Ruth? Hey, who? Remember how Jesus served you and came to this earth to die for your sins? So that you would have the opportunity to serve someone else? So that they might see Jesus in you? What aspect of Boaz makes you think of Jesus the most? Was it the intentional blessings that He intentionally blessed her? Was it the fact that Boaz gave her the best of the best, the premium blessings? Was it the fact that He protected her? Or was it the fact that He even noticed her? See, Jesus notices you where you're at today. Jesus wants to protect you today. Jesus wants to comfort you today. Hey, Jesus already served you as He died on the cross today. Hey, I got a question for you. Do you know, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? Jesus died in your place on the cross. He died for your sins. When you think about the blessings, the premium, the best of the best, have you received the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Has there been a point in time where you have bowed your head and acknowledged that you were a sinner in need of the saving grace of Jesus? Think about that. We're not always a Christian. It's a point in time. When have you called upon the name of the Lord? When have you received at the good hand of Jesus the gift of salvation that he wants for you? And if you haven't today, right now, in the quietness of your seat, you can call upon the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve this blessing. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I see the goodness that you have for me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the grave for my sins. Lord Jesus, give me the gift of forgiveness, of salvation, of eternal life. I don't know how God spoke to your heart today, but I would say this. Pray it in. Don't just go home and just check the box of Sunday service. I pray and hope that you go home and that the Holy Spirit will continue to work on us, each one of us, removing that sense of entitlement, giving us a greater passion to live out that spirit of our Savior, to serve each other, to have a closer, more intimate relationship with him. As the worship team comes, let's pray. Father, Lord, just overwhelmed today just by how awesome you are and how first you take everything in the Bible and you can masterfully point it to your son as a picture foreshadowing. You're so awesome. You're so wonderful. And Lord, your son deserves so much more than what we give him and the praise that we give him. Father, you deserve so much more than what we give you. Lord, I don't give you enough. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, today we wouldn't be moved by demands, but we would be moved by the love of Christ, that we can be constrained by the love of Christ. As we will see in time to come, Ruth being constrained by just this man named Boaz who just loves her and takes notice of her for no apparent reason. Oh God, well, it's you. It's you and your goodness. Oh God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today and that we would not leave this place the same way that we came. Father, and as we're about to sing this song, you're an awesome God. I pray that it would resonate in our heart and mind that truly you are absolutely an awesome, awesome God. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.